Okay, let's start our discussion of Parshas Baha'alosecha, Tavshin Pei Beis, 5782, as we have the Parsha that we go from topic to topic. So many different ideas here in Baha'alosecha. This week's Shabbos, by the way, this year will be about Maisa Miriam, Zechiras Maisa Miriam. But we'll start off with the beginning. At the beginning of the Parsha, we have the menorah, and then we have the Levium. Actually, we're not going to start all the way at the beginning. We have towards the beginning, we have in Perek Tes, Pasuk Zayin, we have Pesach Sheni. Pesach Sheni, when Bnei Yisrael, the people that were Tamei, that didn't get an opportunity to fulfill the mitzvah of Pesach Rishon, come to Moshe Rabbeinu and say, it's not fair. It's not fair, Pasuk Zayin, Vayomer, on Hashem Ohem, Eilov, Anachru Tzvein L'Nefesh Adam, we were Tamei, we were impure, Lamani Gara, why should we lose out? Levilti Akribo, so was Karban Hashem Emoado, Vayomer Aleim Moshe, Moshe said, Imdu Ve'eshma'a, Mayetzav Hashem Lachem, let's stand and I'm going to hear. Let me go ask God what the halacha is, and we will see after that. Imdu Ve'eshma'a. So, if you look in Rashi, Rashi quotes, if you look where Moshe quotes it also in the beginning of source number one, Pirish Rashi, Re'uya ha'isa parshazule amar de Moshe, elazachu elu sheteomer al yudehem. Really, this parsha should have just, Moshe should have just told us the parsha, the section, but they were zoche, right at the end of Pasuk Zion. This is the, that's where the Rashi is. But Megalgalin's Chusai de Zakai. That's the added line. Moshe Rabbeinu should have told it to us, but because these people merited asking to do the mitzvah, so that is why it's brought in the Torah basically because of them. A similar chazal, Ramosha notes, a similar chazal comes up by Bino Slavchad. But the Bino Slavchad also, in the end of the Sefer, Hishmi Enu Gdulasan. Aval hachash lo pirish akrash mosehem, lo yadua lono mizeklum. One second, says Ramosha. By the Bnei Slavchad, right, it should have been done by Moshe Rabbeinu, but there was Zoche, so we want to give them the credit. So that's why, you know, they're famous. We know that the Parsha of Yerusha was because of Bnei Slavchad. But here, they're anonymous. There's no names. So what was the purpose? We want to give them the credit. They have no credit because they're nameless. Kind of like Ploni Amoni. Right? So there are no names here. So you understand why Bnei Slavchad we want to give the credit to. But what about here? They're nameless. Says Rav Moshe. That's the point. That's the chiddush of this example. Vitzarech Lomar on line 7 says Rav Moshe. We're going to start and end the shiur with Rav Moshe tonight. So Vitzarech Lomar. Shehu lilmod mizeh be'ez Hashem. Koah gadol hamevakish lasos mitzvah ba'ava. The greatness of someone who just desires to do a mitzvah with love. Roy shetinatan al mitzvah yado. He merits that the mitzvah should be given through him. Remember, these people were not commanded in the mitzvah. They were exempt. They were tamei. They didn't have to bring it. So all of a sudden they say, we don't want to lose out. You're ones. You don't have a choice. Umayach baslu, mashalom akayman. Kivash lo nitzavu. They don't have to do it. Elama, what we've spoken about often, the Pesach Sheni type of Jew, right? I don't want an exemption. I want to do it. Elamishim sheratzu l'kayim mitzvah mitzad ha'ava v'chavivos mitzvah Hashem, because the beloved nature, we want to do mitzvos. And here, there can't be any ulterior motive. Oh, we want to be remembered. We want to be written down here. It's pure anonymous to show to us the godless of a Jew who just wants to do a mitzvah. Not for any credit, not for any everlasting memory, pure l'shem shamayim. L'chein lo nizkur shmoseyem. Sh'oseyem makom lomar, sh'mebnei gadulasan zachu, sh'tiyamar yado. Right, made below slavchad. Avakivet shlo nisparshu, v'lo yadu alanu gadulasan. It shows this is a pure l'shem shamayim. We want to do a mitzvah. This is how we should have a desire to do mitzvahs Hashem, ba'ahava v'simcha. But still, they get the credit. Okay. That's how our Moshe gets us started tonight. So let's move on a little bit. Actually, it's also on this pasuk, but says the Torah, when Moshe Rabbeinu says, I'm sorry, I skipped. Let me read it again. So if you look on that, the first half of that Rashi, right? Ramosha focuses on the second half of that Rashi. But the first half of that Rashi is all on Pasuk Zayin. Amar lahem, imdu ve'eshma, kitamara muftach l'shma mipi rabo. Like a student who is sure, I'm going to ask my Rebbe, he's going to answer me. Right. Hashem didn't, right? This is one of the four differences between Moshe Rabbeinu and all other prophets. Moshe could start the conversation. Imdu ve'eshma. Right, we learned that from this pasuk. We learned the other differences from the end of the parsha. But Ashrei Yeludisha Shekach Muftach. Blessed is the person who is promised like this. Shekol Zman Shayarotza Hayimadaber Mashchina. Right, whenever he wanted, he could talk to the Shechina. Whenever Moshe Rabbeinu wanted, he could start the conversation. Says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky here in a basic thought. We mentioned this in Shiurim before, but I don't think we've ever mentioned it in the Parsha Shir. So here it is this year. Nira, starting in source number 2. Shekan biyar oladu haTorah es ahevdol hayisodi shvei Moshe ben Shar Neviim. Right, as we just noted. The difference between Moshe and other Neviim, Moshe Rabbeinu can start the conversation whenever he wants to talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Avol Shar Neviim, Tzricha Lahamtin, L'Shechina Shetishra Aleim, other Neviim have to wait till the Shechina decides to talk to them. Ve'ein zeh toli bevakashasam uvertzona. Doesn't matter how much they perfect themselves. You have to wait till Hashem decides to talk. Vehine, says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. Vitzmura, the Gemara in Mesechus Tzmura Daf Tezayin tells us, B'shashen niftar Moshe Rabbeinu l'gan Eden. When Moshe Rabbeinu was going to Gan Eden, towards the end of his life, 120, Amalei Yoshua, Sha'al mimeni, kosvego sheyesh lecha. Yeshua, have any questions? I don't have much more time, but anything you want, I'm here. Any sveikas that you have, ask me. Amalei Yoshua, Amalei Rebbe, klumi nachticha sha'achas, v'alachti l'makam acher, I haven't left your side in years. I haven't left your side in years, in at least 40 years. So, no, there's nothing that's I have a question about, because every time I've had a question, I've asked you. So I there's nothing. Lo kakasavtabi, didn't you write about me in the Torah? That's a cool lashon. Mumisharso Yeshua binu nar lo yamish bitocha oel. You wrote that I never left the tent. So it's true. Miyad, what happens? Moshe Rabbeinu dies, and all of a sudden, all these questions come up. Tashash kochos shel Yeshua. Yeshua becomes weak. V'nishtachu mimenu gima halachas. He forgot 300 laws. V'noldu lo zayin me'asveikos, 700 sveikos. V'amdu kol Yisrael l'hargo. They were going to kill him because he was the leader and they had all of these doubts. Amar l'Kadosh Baruch Hu lomar l'cha v'chulu. And the Gemara continues. And as Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, the Gemara seems to fault Yeshua. But what did he do wrong? He was telling the truth. V'yesh l'havin, halachore Yeshua tzadak b'dvarav. De'ilu haya Yeshua amar l'Moshe, tamidcha ani, umeimecha ani shose, amar nali masha ani chaser. If Yeshua had said, well, you tell me what I'm missing, what would Moshe have told him? There was no question that he had. These were all new sveikas that came up. But why was it his fault? Says Rabbi Yaakov, it wasn't really his fault as much as the need for us and for him and for Yeshua to learn a principle of halachic transmission. Amnam nire, sha'afshi Yeshua lamad es kol haTorah mipi Moshe. Yeshua learned everything. Mikol makom klal echad b'halacha lo lamad mimenu. There was one klal that he didn't learn from him, and guess what? It was impossible to learn from him. Because you know what the principle is? Every generation further from Har Sinai is a little more distant and diluted and less. What we might call Niskatnu Hadoros, but a little bit. The Gemara in Shabbos, Kuf Yud Beis, Im Arishonim B'nei Malachim, if the earlier ones were like angels, Anu B'nei Anashim, they were like people. V'im Anu B'neihim, if they were like people, right, then we're like donkeys, right? They were on a higher level. Shekano Yemoshe Malamdo. Moshe had to teach him, and maybe the only way to teach him is right after he died. You have all these questions. That itself teaches we're not the Dor of Moshe Rabbeinu anymore. Moshe Kibbutz Torah Misinai is not the same as Messer Eli Yeshua and Yeshua Lezakenim. Shekana Moshe Malamdo Akhal Agadol Shel Chasimas Atkufos. The idea of the finishing of the generations. V'yachshav K'shigiyaz Mano Shel Moshe Lipater L'Gan Eden Nigmar Atkufas Moshe Kibbutz Torah Misinai. The first generation of halachic mesorah is done. Umatchila tkufas v'nitna liYoshua. And the next one started. So it wasn't a specific answer to a question that Yeshua needed to know, but it was the concept that every higher link on the chain with Har Sinai is stronger, is purer, so to speak. And in order to crystallize this idea, it wasn't a punishment. It was just to teach Yeshua and to teach us. Right? Maybe Yeshua would have thought, all the generations are going to be horizontal. They're all going to be equal. One, two, no. That's not how it works. Right? We're not going to be able to stay on that level. And Hashem says, you got to get it back with your own pilpul. It can't be given to you. Hashem only gave directly to Moshe. After that, it's up to the Gedolei Yisrael. Vehine says Rabbi Yaakov, Haklal Hazeh. And this is what Rabbi Yaakov is writing here on this Rashi, which discusses the difference between Moshe and the other Nevi'im. Because Moshe was the only one. Moshe was unique. So says Rabbi Yaakov, expanding on this idea, Haklal Hazeh Shel Im Harishon B'nei Malachim, Ein Hu Melitza Ba'amo. This isn't just a nice hashkafic idea. Ela Kol Yesodos Psikas Halacha Nivne Malav. Right, there's all of Psak Halach is based on this. V'hainu, shebechol pam shegemara makshe, every daf in Shas, the Gemara says, how could this Amora say this? It's against the Mishnah, it's against the Brisa, it's against this. What's the assumption of that whole question? You can't argue on a Mishnah, or a Brisa, or a Tosefta. A later rabbi can't argue on an earlier rabbi in certain stages. Amoraim to Tanoim, and Rishonim to Tanoim. Right, he doesn't quote it. The Rosh Maseches Sanhedrin has a discussion. Machlokes Rishonim, could a Rishon argue on a Gaon? He can't argue on the Gemara. What about on a Gaon? Do the Gaonim represent the Tkufas, a Tkufa in Halacha? But this is what Rabbi Yaakov says. Hainu Shek Shenecht Ve'ez a Tkufa, when a certain time period in history finishes, Shuv Yefshel Abale Tkufa Abola Acher Mikan Lachlok Aleim. You can't argue. Because they are on another level. Again, this is a huge topic, many different sources, but this is Rabbi Yaakov's idea. How do you know when a tkufa finishes? So he says, when a great personality at the end of that tkufa kind of like puts everything together and says, this is it. Like Yehuda Nasi with the Mishnah, Ravina and Ravashi with the Gemara. Right, they kind of put everything together over the past couple hundred years. One might say, the tour, Beis Yosef, whether it was the tour putting everything together over the past couple hundred years, whether it was the Shulchan Aruch, based on that, right, the end of the Rishonim. That was a tkufa. Right, and that's the concept in the first Mishnah. Sheyesh tkufas Moshe, Yeshua, Zakenim, Nevi'im, Vechulu. Ki kibbutz ha'alachas moral sofa tkufa. The gathering and the compilation of halachos symbolizes the end of that tkufa. So we have the Mishnah, we have the Gemara, and after that, as it continues, turning the page, Ubenekuda zuta Yoshua ki usavar shemikivan shu lo mosh me'alo shemoshe. He thought because he never left the tent of Moshe, v'lamen meno la Torah, kol la Torah should be imkei shuvein chiluk meno levein Moshe. There's no difference. V'lachein chashav shein lo shuma l'shma mi Moshe. But that's not true. That's not true. We have to recognize. Our Rebbeim are a step closer. And he says at the end, how is Yeshua supposed to know this? Okay. Maybe he shouldn't have known it, but maybe he at least could have asked. Moshe, I have no idea. Tell me what I don't know. He could have said that. And that's what we always, there's always something that we can learn from our Rebbeim. And he quotes that Gemara at the beginning of Chagiga. Remember the Rabbi Yochanan, Ben Baba, Rabbi Blazer, Ben Chisma, they were going, they met you, Rabbi Yeshua, in Pekiah, and he says, "Nu, what's said in the base Medrash today?" And they said, "You're our Rebbe." He says, "No, there's got to be something. There's always something new. So that is the thought of Rabbi Yaakov. Again, it could be said on many different areas in the Torah, but he says it here, again, based on that Gemara in Temura Daf Tezayin, and getting us into the discussion of Niskatnu Adoros. Again, it's a big shear. Just parenthetically, the Rambam never seems to have that idea of Niskatnu Adoros. In halachic realm, there are many references and allusions that the Rambam has a different view of what this means, but that is beyond the purview of our shear right now. Okay. Moving right along. So we have Pesach Sheni, and then we have the travels in the desert. This is hardcore Bamidbar right here by Ravi. Right? The traveling in the desert. Uviyam Hakim Asa Mishkan Kisa Anan Asa Mishkan. When the Mishkan was built, the cloud covered the Mishkan. Ken Yetamid Anan Yichasenu Mar Ish Laila. There was a cloud and there was the fire. Uvafei Healose Anameyala. Awela, when the cloud went up, V'yachareichen Yisu B'nei Yisrael. Right? The cloud moves. Okay, guys, we're leaving. They travel behind the cloud. Wherever the cloud stops, Shamiachnu B'nei Yisrael. They just followed the cloud. The cloud stopped, they stopped. They unpacked. The cloud moved, they moved. Alpi Hashem Yisu B'nei Yisrael, Alpi Hashem Yachanu. They traveled and they encamped based on what the Anan guided them. Kol Yomei Asher Yishkon HaAnan Al Mishkan Yachanu. Whenever the cloud stopped, they stopped. And if it was there a long time, they stayed there a long time. Sometimes he was only there for a few days. One day, and it goes baboker v'naso. O yomam v'layla. So it could be long, it could be short. O yomayim, o chodesh, o yamim. Says Rav Hirsch, isn't it interesting? Yet all the psukim are saying they traveled and they encamped based on the cloud. But there's a heavy emphasis. What would I have emphasized out of those two? They traveled whenever the cloud traveled, or they camped whenever the cloud camped? I would have probably thought that the more natural emphasis would have been when the cloud moved, they followed the cloud. But oh, it mentions that. But reading the psukim overall, you get a sense of the emphasis being that they stopped when the cloud stopped. Right? When that Ma'aron was Marich, Shamru b'smiras Hashem, they guarded the lo yiso, they didn't move. Sometimes it was there for a few days, and they stopped for a few days. Sometimes one day, they stopped for one day. Sometimes yomayim chodesh yamim, baharich anan. Again, when it's long, yachanu b'nei yiso v'lo yiso. So again, both are mentioned, but says at first you get a little feeling that it's even emphasizing even a little more the camps. Says at first in source number 4. What's the message? The message comes from both, but this is his message. As I mentioned, sometimes there are 3 pages of sources, sometimes there are 9. It just works out. And sometimes there is more all Hebrew, sometimes there is some more English. Just works out based on Siyata Dishmaya. Says Rav Hirsch, and as is described here, the will and intention of this direction was absolutely unpredictable. Right? They had no idea. When they set up the Mishkan and they set up their tent, they had no idea if this was going to be one day, 1 month, or 25 years. They had no idea how long they were going to be. Remember Rashi says at the end of Bamidbar, right, one of the gifts. Right? We only went to how many places? Not too many places overall. And a bunch of them were in the first year and the last year. Besides that, I forgot the exact number. Not too many places in 38 years. But it was unpredictable. Sometimes a long rest. Sometimes just a few days. Sometimes only a night or a day and a night. Or 2 days and a day. V'chulu. There was nothing to indicate the duration of the stay. The people must often have received the sign to stop, made all the arrangements to encamp, set up shop, oh, we're leaving again. Such was the school of wandering through the wilderness. The school. Because this was a learning experience, says Rav Hirsch. To teach us for all the time to follow God devoutly and trustfully. To have complete confidence in Him. However little His guidance may seem comprehensible to us. He tells us now to leave the place where we have just made ourselves comfortable. That to stay patiently in the most cheerless conditions. Still always to do what He directs. Again, maybe we can have a little inkling of this. A little bit. You know, this trust. Right? This kind of trust. Like, oh, why are we here so long? You know, one might say, you put the destination into Waze. And Waze takes you a totally different route than you would have thought. Going all the way around. So, okay, we could check routes and see what's going on. But, you know, one might say, Waze knows. There must be a problem. That's why Waze is doing this. We have blind faith often in Waze. It must be that Waze knows best. We have a capital W, ways, that takes us, that took them through the desert, that takes us through life. And often we second guess. We second guess and like, this is the route that we need to go on. Am Yisrael were taught this. They were taught this. And he says, as we have now on line 21, if we look more closely, right, at the report of the testing exercises, what was the bigger test? It was not so much the strain of lengthy wanderings as the patient endurance of the lengthy stops, which seemed to be stressed as the real task of the tests. Nothing is mentioned of the wandering and their duration, but very definitely, it doesn't say anywhere, when you had to travel for a long time, it doesn't say that lashon in the Torah. You camped for a long time, or you camped for a short time, and then you had to travel. But the emphasis is the encampments. Because remember, we were told where we're going. Wouldn't it be frustrating? You want to go, but you can't. You can't go, Hashem says not. And you might be here for a very long time. But that's the message. The message that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge of our pace. And sometimes in life, right, what does it say in Pirkei Avos? Not to be dochek, well, a little bit, and also at the end of Brachas, I think, not to be dochek the Shah. Not to be dochek, don't push the moment. Things come into, we have to do our Rishtabos, we have to try the best we can. But sometimes we can't try to make things happen if it's not meant to happen yet. And we have to try to do our best in many areas of life, and this is the message that, one of the messages that Klal Yisrael received, that we received, as we traveled, and even more, when we didn't travel in the desert. Okay, and at the end of this section, of the travelings, we have the pasuk that's the basis of the Ramban's source of davening, tefillah, right? The Rambam says it's a mitzvah to daven every day. The Ramban says only mitzvah to daven be'eis tsar at a time of national calamity, need, that's based on these psukim, tes and yud. V'chisavo melchama ba'artzachem al atzaratu erizchem. When there's a war, v'arayosem v'chatzotzros, which you call out with trumpets, v'neskartem l'vnei Hashem alokechem, v'noshantem e'aveichem, and you will be remembered in front of Hashem. Uviyam simchaschem v'moadeichem, and on your holidays, and Rosh Chodeshim, and on your new months, u'sakatem v'chatzotzros, alo losecha v'azivche shalmeichem, should blow trumpets along with your karbanos. Ani Hashem Elokeichem. And you will have be remembered in front of your God. I am Hashem your God. So this pasuk also is at least a remez, according to most Rishonim, it's a remez, not a real makar, for the three brachas that we say on Rosh Hashanah. Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros. Right, you have it there in the Sifri, in source number 5, Usakatan Bechatzotzros, Shofaros. Foylachem Lezikaron, Zichronos. Ani Hashem Alekechem, Malchios. Right, these are the three. Im Kain says Rav Schwab, Maro Chachamim Lomer Malchios Tchila V'yachach Zichronos V'achach Shofaros. If in the Pasuk, there's a different order to the remez of these three brachas, which again, as I said, most assume that saying these three brachas is a Dinder Rabbanah, not a Dinder Araisa. There's a Rashi that sounds like it's Daraisa, but Pashas, it is a Dinder Rabbanan. So why'd they put Malchias first, if in the Pasuk it's last? So however we're going to explain this, we're not going to get back to why it's out of that order in the Pasuk. But we're going to talk about why Rav Schwab says why Chazal put it in that order. Why did Chazal put it in that order? So he quotes, Ela hamlichehu Alecha tchila v'yacharkach b'cheshel avrachemim kedei shetizacher lo u'bameh b'shofar. Or similarly in Rosh Hashanah Tezayim. Say in front of me, Malchias, Zichronos, and Shofaros. Malchias, temlechuni aleichem. Make me king over you. Zichronos, kedei sheyalo zichronechem lefanai. If you make me king, then your memory will go in front of me. U'bameh b'shofar. And with what mechanism? The shofar. So this is a Rosh Hashanah thought, but it's here in Baal Oscha. So we're going to do it now. Levayer divrei chachamim, says Rav Schwab, to explain these words of Chazal, Nachdim, Havanas, Amram, Tamlichuni Aleichem. What does it mean? Be mamlech, make me king over you. As Rav Schwab, what's unique about Malchias on Rosh Hashanah? Don't we say 100 times a day, Elokeinu melech ha'olam? Whenever we say a bracha, we're calling God king. So we do Malchias every day. What's the chiddush? What's unique about the Malchias of Rosh Hashanah? Hari mea pamim b'chol yom anu mamlichin oso yisbarach shemo. Kishim avarachim, barach ata melech ha'olam. Right, without mentioning malchus, right, you're not yotzi the bracha. Ela, says Rav Schwab. So insightful. Sheba amiras melech ha'olam anu mamlichin b'zakadosh baruch hu, akol olam kulo. Melech ha'olam, he's the king over everything. I'm not sure if that includes me, though. He can be king over the whole world, but not me. That's Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is recognized that Hashem is over the whole world, and I'm included. I'm included. Tamlichuni aleichem. Shekol echad yikabal al atzmo o malchus shamayim. It's on you. Recognize Hashem's in charge. He quotes the Medrash. In Va'eschanan. The Medrash in Bereishis Rabbah, which he explains in Va'eschanan. Mashal echashe over mekom lemakom v'rabira achas olekas. A man passes by and he sees a house on fire. Amar, Tomar, Shavir, Zu, below Manik, oi, who's in charge here? Who's in charge here? He's the balabira, Amarlo, ani balabira. Then all of a sudden, the owner next house says, it's my house, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. So then he knows the fire's there on purpose. If the balabira doesn't seem to be so, you know, upset about it. Kach l'fishaya avinu Avram Omer Tomar sh'olam hazeh v'lo manik. Avram Avinu sees the world burning. There are so many things he doesn't understand. He tzitz ala l'akadosh baruch hu, Hashem says, I'm here. I'm the balabira. I have it covered. And that calmed Avraham. Pirish. Sharu asreifa shalabira yitzma. Aye balabira. Shechabes hadleika. Who's going to put out the fire? Ach shi'omer lo balabira. Anio adon abira. I want the fire to be burning right now. Avraham Avinu sees such kochos of tumah, of impurity. He sees avodah zarah. He sees the world on fire in certain areas. Or he sees tzadik v'ra'lo rasha v'tovlo. He looks around. He sees midas hadin. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I'm the balabira. I want the house burning right now. That's tamlichuni aleichem. That's making Hashem melech not only on everyone else, but on me. But on me. Right, the top left. Al zeh bo achiv al adam lahamin memuna shleima. Shekacha ratzoni yisbarach. Ve'in laharach amidosav. Remember at the beginning of... actually, let's just finish for a second. At the beginning of Sefer Eov, the friends tell Eov, you used to give a lot of chizik to everyone else, and all of a sudden now it happens to you. You know, this is what happens? They were telling him, you were mamlechim on the whole world, and not you? Obviously, but Eov was an extreme case. And they were tormenting Eov throughout the whole Sefer, unjustly. But that's what mamlich on ourselves. V'chein ba'olamo akatan shal adam ba'atzmo. And also, on our own world, sometimes we feel a burning fire. Sherei teva einel latur achaznus. We have a yetzahara, and we fall, and we speak lashon hara, and we make mistakes. We make mistakes, and we feel like the fire is burning. And it's so hard, and it's so challenging. We have to say HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge. We have to do the best we can. But he was the one that created this. So that's Malchius, to be Mamlechim. Once we do that, says Rav Schwab, then we get to, right, what's the next line? If you do this, Ya'alu Zichronechem Latova, then your Zecher could come in front of me Latova. What does that mean? So he explains, he quotes himself what he wrote in Parshas B'Shalach. Hagam shekal maisa mitzvah filu hirur kal kerev ayin. V'nyani ruchni is everything that we do, every good deed that we do, that we think about, eino nimchak. Mipa'az ha'yosu dovek b'akadosh baruch hu, that connects us to Hashem. But it could be that certain types of behavior of ours might cause Hashem to kind of overlook the mitzvos. Though there, but maybe now look at the total effect of the mitzvos. And we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, no, we're mamlech you. If we're mamlech Hashem and we recognize that He's in charge of everything, that everything we did, every mitzvah that we did, will go in front of Him. And there won't be any aveira that's mechabe a mitzvah. And finally, ubameh b'shofar. And with what? Through the shofar. So what's the shofar? How does the shofar work here? So, again, there are many. Rav Sadia Gaon, if you remember, has 10 different kavanas to think about when we hear shofar. So one of the more famous ones, is the shofar of the aisle, the ram that was caught in the thicket after Avraham Avinu was told not to kill his son Yitzchak. What's the message? Some of the commentaries wonder. What's the message of the Ayil Nechaz Bisfach Bekarnov with his horns? So Rav Schwab says, he was trying to get out. He was trying to get out on the left side. But the message is, you can't escape the plan. He was unable to escape. You can't. And that's the shofar. To remember, it's the same idea as the Malchus. Be Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu on us. That way, the Zikaron, all of our mitzvahs will go in front of him through the listening to the shofar, remembering the message of the shofar, Ne'echaz, Ne'echaz Basfach. It's a lot more about not being able to run away. Remember that Gemara in Sukkah with Shlomo HaMelech. He thinks he could outsmart the Malach HaMavis. Enough time to go through that Gemara again. He sends people to the other side of the world, and it's exactly what the Malach HaMavis wanted him to do. Okay, let's continue. So we have some moments in Sefer Bamidbar which aren't the greatest for Klal Yisrael. Aren't the greatest. So we go through the Nesiim, and now Moshe in Shishi, Vayomer Moshe, talks to Chovav ben Reuel, talks to Yisro, they travel, and a little bit later on we start complaining. Perek Yud Aleph, Vayiyam kemis onanim ra b'nei Hashem. We're complaining. Next, Pasuk Dalet, v'hasaf sufa sher b'kibo his avu taifa. The multitude, right? We had a taifa. What does taifa usually mean? Right? Usually taifa means taifa is in the world of Arias. That's usually. His avu taifa. Rashi quotes Erev Rav. Rashi is always defending us. Oh, it's the Erev Rav, like Rashi does in Parshat Kisiso also. But here it says the taifa, but the pasuk explains. What was the taifa? Oh, I could use a great steak. All we have is this mun. I want some meat. Miach leinu basar. Oh, I remember those restaurants we had in Mitzrayim. The chayin was hadogash anochem Mitzrayim chinam. We used to eat the fish for free, the vegetables, the atan afshini yevesha in kol bilti alamal einenu. We have nothing except this mun. It's all we have. That's Rashi. That's the pasuk. Says the Rashi, v'chi lo hayalahem basar, v'alok far nemar, v'gam erev rav Allah itam sonu vakar. They have plenty of meat. They have plenty of animals from Mitzrayim. V'im tomar achalum, if you want to say they ate them all, v'alok b'kinisasam la'aretz, nemar u'mikne rav hayal b'nei Reuven. We know from Parshas Matos, they had plenty. Ela shemivakshim alila, says Rashi. They were just looking for an excuse to complain. They were just looking for an excuse. Ask the Be'er Yosef. I understand that, you know, looking for an excuse and, you know, let's make something up. But wasn't this the most ludicrous possibility? We want meat? They have animals there. Like, who were they even kidding and fooling? They had plenty of animals. Come up with something that you want. Okay. We want lollipops. Right? We want something that they don't have. Think of something. Dafka, the meat. Dafka, the meat is what they have. So what were they complaining about? What were they complaining about? Amnam chata ha'am shayim isra'am in vizabu taiva. We want the meat. Aval kalpanim line 6. Sorach bi'ul adas. Al eze yisod ha'yu. Heim mistamchim lis'onin of alifkos b'yachilin abasar. It was a joke. Says the Be'er Yosef, and it gets a long piece, but we're just going to summarize it. From a human side of things, the Efshel Avayar, they were complaining about meat. Why were they complaining about meat? But also, he adds, he's going to explain why did he use the Lashon of Taiva, his Aivu Tava. The Gemara has a Machlokas in Maseches Chulin. But according to one of the opinions, during the time in the desert, the only meat that Bnei Yisrael were allowed to eat was shlamim, was karbanos. The mizbeach was with you. Just bring it to the mizbeach and sacrifice it and bring it as a karban, and then you could eat it. Right? Later on, in Parshas Re'eh, before they went into Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Shmuel Omer, lo ba'akasav elahatlam basar taifa. Right? Then they were allowed to eat meat wherever, because they weren't going to be near the Beis HaMikdash. They were going to go live wherever they wanted, were going to live in Eretz Yisrael. But at this, during all these years, there's one day of the Tanoim at least, that they weren't allowed to shecht stam, chulin. It was all kachim. Says the Ber Yosef, if this is true, let's try to get into the minds of Klal Yisrael, those who wanted to complain. If it was meat, if it was karbanos, you know what that means? There's a limited time to eat it. You can't eat it whenever you want to. Right? Shlamim is day, night, day. Then you have to burn it. Nipsal fizesha yisurim b'achilas basar chulin el adaf gadishayim akriven karbon shlamim. Ve'azha yicholim lechol basar mibzar shlamim. So number one, line 25. Beis masayim. One second. When can you eat karbon shlamim? When you're within the walls, when you can see the Mishkan. When they were traveling, there was no Mishkan up. They couldn't eat it. So every time they traveled, no karbanos. No meat allowed. Beis masayim kshayav Mishkan mefurak. Whole Mishkan was covered. There was no Mishkan ki'ilu. They couldn't eat. What if they became tameh? Couldn't eat it. Kivan shakarban eno necha b'tumas aguf. Every time they were with their wives, right, the next day they became ba'alei keri, they couldn't eat the kachim. Their wives were tameh for 3 days. Pleita shechva zera. So there were a lot of limitations. People might not have wanted to be with their wives or their husbands because they wanted to eat, they wanted to have fellatio the next day. And if they had fellatio the next day, then they couldn't be with their wives. So the whole system was very limiting, says the Ber Yosef. They had meat, but there was all these limits. B'yosor inimna achilas basar kachem yitzala noshim sheshimshu. Pleita, 3 days, v'chulu. That's the taiva. His avu taiva, because it was all interconnected. It was interconnected. Taiva kfula on the left side. Taivas habasar, v'taivas hameshagel. V'yashuv v'yivku gam b'Yisrael, miach leinu basar. Right, we remember the fish. Fish is also a euphemism. Food sometimes can be a euphemism. Remember in Bereishis, bread is a euphemism. Right, the potifar. Yosef has everything except the bread, referring to his wife. Here, we remember the daga. Right, the Gemara in Meseches Yuma. Hey, this is daga's lashon tashmish, v'yidgu laro b'kerev ha'aretz. Says the Ber Yosef, that's what they were complaining about. There was plenty of meat, but if it was bizarre kachim, it was very limiting. It was very limiting. They wanted to eat meat when they wanted to eat it and how they wanted to eat it. You know, we just have a limit of 6 hours, right? Going in the opposite direction. But they had more limits. They weren't happy with what they had. They didn't recognize that everything being a carbon is something of a privilege and something sanctified and maybe an ideal. But they don't look at it in that way. Okay. Moving right along, so what do? So they cry. Right, you have it here too. They cry. Right, they were all complaining. Right? It fits into the Ber Yosef also. They were complaining, they were crying, bochel mishpachosav, relating to their mishpachos. Ish lepesach ahalo. They were complaining. And, one second. Bochel mishpachosav, right, Rashi quotes, mishpachos ne'asafim ubochim, lefarsein taramasam begali. Rabboseinu amru, mishpachosav, emiz arayas. They were looking for, you know, they had a deeper problem here. They were upset of all the new laws that they had. Rabbi Frand, based on Rabbi Yaakov, but again, he expands on it more, so that's why I just gave it to you through the eyes of Rabbi Frand, notes that we find numerous times in the Torah and in Chazal, that Chazal attribute much deeper, often evil kavanos for stories that on the surface don't mention those kavanos. For example, here, it says they're complaining about meat, and they're complaining at their tents. Chazal say, no, there's a much deeper intent here. They're complaining about the laws of Arayos that they received. There are many instances in which the Torah ascribes a relatively benign motive, right, for a certain deed, and Chazal teaches that the person's intentions were actually abominable. Right? Lot goes to stone. Why? The Torah says, because it was fertile. His livestock had plenty to graze on, and Chazal say, no, no, no. He wanted to be near stone. everything that Stom stood for. The Meraglim tell us that, you know, it's going to be hard to conquer. And, you know, many Mefarshim, and just the reaction that Moshe Rabbeinu had and Hashem tell us. Right, what about the time that Bnei Israel asked for a king? And Shmuel and HaKadosh Baruch Hu get so upset. Why did Chazal do this? Explains Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, and this is mentioned here by Rabbi Friant. By revealing the true underpinnings of the protagonists in the stories, Chazal are informing us that every human has subconscious emotions and desires that cause them to make bad or inappropriate decisions. Now, sometimes we're not even aware. We do certain things in life, and we don't even realize that we're doing something that's not exactly what we should be doing. But Chazal knew this either based on their Ruach HaKodesh or their deep intuition into human nature enabled them to notice clues that the average observer might have missed. Here, right, when people gather for an impromptu family reunion to weep about onions, we remember the onions and the cucumbers. It can't be the onions that are bothering them. Right? There's got to be something deeper here. They're just complaining about the vegetables they used to get in Mitzrayim. Right? Lot couldn't go towards Stom, just because of the area. There has to be something more. So the message is, we have to try to make sure that we don't fall prey to these subconscious motives that we have. How do we do that? So here Rabbi Friend adds to the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Aseh lecha rav v'kaneh lecha chaver. Both of those. We have to make sure to have teachers and friends that we trust, that will ask their opinion, that we will listen to their encouragement or their criticism if something is said. So we need the mentor to ensure that we aren't fooling ourselves, or the need for a good friend, v'chulu. Ruchni is gashmias, aseh lecha rav, kneh lecha chaver. But remember, they're not perfect either. What does the end of the Mishnah say? V'avidonos kol adam l'kavzchus. Give everybody a little bit of flexibility. But that's how we have to try to stay objective, to have outside opinions trying to keep us straight. Okay. Moving right along. We'll come to Rav Moshe at the end. Let's just do first 15, then we'll come back to 14. 15, I thought I had mentioned it in the past, but it's one of Rabbi Jonathan Sachs's themes that he writes about in different contexts. But he has it here, and it's an amazing thought, if one has never heard it, or even if one has. Let's ask it as a question. Again, he asked this question in the middle. We know towards the end of the parsha, all of these prophets, all of these Nevi'im, start prophesizing, and then Eldad Umeidad are also prophesizing towards the end of the parsha, and Yeshua ben Nun gets very upset, because what are they prophesizing? Maybe they're prophesizing that Moshe is not going to go into Eretz Yisrael. Yeshua gets very upset, and what is Moshe's reaction? Halavai, everybody should be a prophet. What are you getting upset about? Halavai, everybody. Vayomer lo Moshe, Pasach Chavtes, Hamakani Atali, Umidin Kalam Hashem Nevi'im, Kiitin Hashem Ezrucho Alayim. Oh, everybody! Wouldn't it be great if everybody were Nevi'im? That's here in Baal Oscha, Eldad Umeidad. Fast forward a few weeks, Korach. Korach says, Moshe, Kol Eda Kulam Kedoshim. What does Moshe Rabbeinu say? Hashem, open up the ground. Why the opposite reactions? Korach wanted some power, and Eldad Umeidad wanted some power. What's the difference? Why in this week's parasha, Moshe says, Halavai, they should all be. Well, Korach, Moshe, of course, had the opposite reaction. Says Rabbi Sachs, there's a big difference between power and influence. Often they go together. The one has the most power has the most influence, and the one that has the least power has the least influence. But, says Rabbi Sachs, they are not the same. They are not the same. We tend to think of them as similar, but it's not true. They are very distinct. And his example given, Lamaisa, is if somebody has all-encompassing power, if they share their power, they now have less power. If I can make all the decisions, then I give the decision-making to someone else, I now have less power. If I share power, I have less power. If I share influence, I have more influence. If I influence students, and those students go and influence other students, then I, the Rebbe, have more influence. The more influence you share, the more influence you have. The more power you share, the more power you have. Power works by division, influence by multiplication. Power is a zero-sum game. Influence is a non-zero-sum game. The more you share, the more you have. Right, and this is the difference between Korach and Eldad Umedad. Korach wanted power. Right, that's not for him. Moshe Rabbeinu was the Melech. Korach can't have any power. Eldad Umedad, Nevi'im, they were having influence. They were all influenced by the Nevuah of Moshe. It was trickling down. Right, they merely received the same influence, the divine spirit that emanated from Moshe. And Moshe was not that. And that's the difference between the two. And that's how a leader always has to look. More influence is better for the leader. Power, that's a question. But influence is not. Influence is different. So Judaism clearly demarcates at the end between leadership as influence and leadership by power. It is unqualified in its endorsement of the first and deeply ambivalent about the second. V'chulu, influence above all. Nevi'im and teachers above Malach. So that we always have to take with us as we relate to our leaders. One final thought, and again, it's going to be a little shorter this week because of the Meirav was a little late. Says, back to Ramosha. We started with Ramosha. I said we would end with Ramosha. At the end of the parasha, we of course have the story of Miriam and Aaron. Miriam and Aaron, right, they spoke Lashon Hara. Miriam tells her brother. And we know the story. And later on in Kisesi, we're even told that we have to remember this story. Miriam is punished. She gets saras, Moshe Rabbeinu, the shortest tefillah on record, 5 words, kelna rafan Allah, and she is healed. But it says, the second to last pasuk, that the Am, the nation, did not travel for the entire week while Miriam had saras. They did not travel. V'ha'am lo nasa, last Rashi in the parsha. Zeh ha'kavod chalak lahamakom. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave her kavod. The whole nation waited for her. When she waited for her brother to see what would happen when he got thrown into the Nile, so you waited for Moshe, the whole Am Yisrael will wait for you. As for Moshe, isn't it interesting? Where are we showing Miriam this covet? You know, and what if Miriam wouldn't have spoken Lashon Hara? Then we wouldn't have shown her the covet. Right, is Dafka because of this happened? Because she sinned and she got saras? What kind of covet is this? It's like, in the sin? Just show her cover some other way. Tamu lechora, Masha Hashem Yisbarach hera kavod the Miriam. Be sarata shabai dechet shel avchiim lo chata lo hayacholik lakavod sherotze lachloka. Says Rav Moshe. No, the point is even at this time, Hashem loved Miriam so much that even at this time, when she's feeling so low, maybe to give her some chizuk. The Am's not leaving. The Am's not leaving. Right, remember that story of the boy who's playing hide and seek, and then people stop seeking, and he's just stuck there. Nobody's looking for him, and he feels terrible. Where is everybody? Everybody left. That's just the whole Am. Miriam, you catch up to us. No, nobody's catching up. The whole Am waited. Lohodiya shekoka chavivihi lefnei Hashem yisbarach. Shegam ba'is cheta. So it's even. It's even at that time, quotes the Gemara in Yevamos, even when Shaul is getting punished, still Hashem is out for his covet in terms of the hesped. But this is Rav Moshe's message to us that no matter what we do, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always there. Hashem is always loves us. He wants to connect to us no matter what state we are in, even at a time of divine onesh. Kadosh Baruch Hu still loves us. Hashem should only give us bracha, hatzlacha, simcha, and good health as we continue in this post-Shavuos world. Okay, we'll stop here.